Father, thank you for the day we've had so far, for this new day, for how we can worship you and adore you, express to you our real appreciation and love. We are so thankful for that you have purposed for us in Christ. What a great salvation we have, but what a great heart you have. There's no one like you. We so thank you that you care for us. Not only have you made us, but you still love us and care for us. And as your children, we feel that every day. I thank you, Father, for Isaac and Amy with us, and next Saturday night they head back. We ask that you would refresh them and give them fresh zeal and wisdom and everything they need to be a real blessing to the people they ministered to in Tondo. We also thank you that a group of us can go and see them and help them, help you, Lord, with the work that you're doing. And we also thank you that part of that trip will be to help the Aadi people after just a few weeks ago suffering from the effects of a typhoon. We ask also that you would help Robert and Shelley as they minister to people who, I imagine, Lord, not only have they been expelled, but I imagine their lives are under threat. We ask that you would protect these Christians and encourage them and help them, Lord, as fellow Christians come alongside to support them. Thank you for Robert and Shelley willing to do that. And now, Father, thank you for your word that was read to us. We ask that you would bless this to us and minister to us by your wonderful Holy Spirit. How lovely it is to be thankful for your Spirit, who is the leader and teacher of all truth. And we thank you for how today we can expect him to teach us as we look at your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's the most important thing in life to you? If you ask that question to people in our society, they'd probably say our family. Maybe that'd be number one. Our health. Maybe their achievements. Or maybe others might go on about world peace, solving global warming. And the most important thing in life, of course, is the mobile phone. Have you ever picked that up? I remember in Singapore the other day, a few weeks ago, where on the subway, everyone is just looking at their phones. Like, that's your life. But you know what? We ought to know if we are about those who love God, we ought to know that the most important thing in life is none of those things. The most important thing in life is faith. Have you ever thought of it like that? Faith is the most important thing in life. Faith in God, that he exists. Faith in God's word. And faith in God's son. They are the most important things in life. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, imagine an aeroplane without wings. Well, you couldn't, but anyway, imagine an aeroplane without wings. It could not take off. It could not soar to the heights. It couldn't do anything like that. And that's how we are if we do not have faith. We will not be able to take off and live life to the full and soar with God if we don't have faith. Faith is essential. Faith in God, in his word and in his son. Faith. Very sadly, we live in a day and age where most people seem to not have this kind of faith that we're talking about. Oh, they have faith all right, but not in the right things. They have faith in other religions, in human philosophy, in all sorts of things, including there's a lot of faith being put in people into themselves these days. Have you noticed that? You're your God. And this is just rubbish. It's going to lead to wreck and ruin and destruction. But we're encouraged to put our faith in the living God and in his son and in his word. When I think of these things about the importance of faith, there's a little verse or a little part of a verse in Luke chapter 18 verse 8 where the Lord Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And that's always challenged me. It reminds me of how this faith in God is such a rare thing. And even when Jesus returns, there will be very little of it. Because as we know, the Bible talks about a great falling away from the faith. It's going to be rare to find people who truly trust in God and in his word and in his son. Now, I don't know if you've noticed in our sermon series through the book of Hebrews that the writer of the book of Hebrews, whoever he was, some people say Paul, but we don't know, he was right on about faith. Have you noticed that? He knows it's such a key thing for those who say they're a follower of Jesus to have faith. And let me just say something here. We're going to be looking at faith, not saving faith. Not the faith that you need to be saved. That is, turning from your sins and trusting in Jesus. Trusting him to forgive you of your sins. Trusting him to bring you to heaven. Right, we're going to be looking at living faith. What it means to, if you've come to Jesus, what it means to live by faith in God. And the Hebrew writer has been really full on about this. In Hebrews chapter 4, he talks about how without faith, we will not enter into God's rest. We will not be able to enter into heaven and enjoy God's perfect, beautiful rest forever and ever. It's called a rest. You look forward to that. The rest of God doesn't mean we do nothing. But we don't no longer strive against sin and all the agonizing stuff here on earth. In Hebrews chapter 6, it tells us without faith, we will not be able to inherit the promises. We will not be saved. We need to have faith. And again in the book of Hebrews, we have seen the importance of holding on to God. Not going backwards. Not giving up. Keeping on, keeping on. Keeping faith going. And last Sunday morning, we were looking at Hebrews chapter 10. And have a look at the emphasis in Hebrews chapter 10, 37 to 39. Just let me read this to you. Hebrews 10, 37 to 39. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Hallelujah. Verse 38. Hallelujah is not there, but we can respond, can't we? Verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Wow, we're urged in the light of the coming of Jesus that we live by faith. It's assuming that we're saved by faith, but we've got to live by faith. And we've got to be careful. There's a danger as we the opposite of living by faith is to be shrinking away, falling away. And the Bible warns us of that. We might make a confession of faith, but if we're falling away, if we're not persevering, if we're not holding on to Jesus, we shall be one day face destruction. But if we are those who have a genuine faith, a faith in God, and it's a living faith as well, then one day we can be guaranteed that our soul will be preserved. We shall be saved. And again, look at the emphasis. The Hebrew writer is encouraging us to make sure we keep on believing in God, His Word, and in His Son. So this morning, we're going to jump into a great chapter. Faith is such a big subject in the book of Hebrews and right through the Bible that there is a whole chapter devoted to faith in the Bible called Hebrews chapter 11. And we're about to open it. Pretty good, eh? We call this the faith chapter, or we also call it the hall of faith. And we have great examples of men and women of old who had faith in God despite all the situations in life. So you should know this chapter. It's a great chapter. And we're going to be looking at it. And as we look at this chapter, we're going to just look at the first seven verses this morning because there's a lot in this chapter. And in these first seven verses, I want us to look at three things, three subheadings. They are these. Faith defined, faith demonstrated, and faith designed. Those three things. Faith defined, faith demonstrated, and faith designed. Rightio. Faith defined. What is faith? What is faith? Well, I could give you lots of illustrations. Like one illustration might be putting a harness on you when you're chopping down trees with the Kirk brothers. That's exercising faith. Or another one Colin and I recently experienced in Singapore was having faith in the track and the carriage of a roller coaster. Yet, believe it or not, Colin went on a roller coaster. Having faith that you're going to survive. Faith, by definition, is trust or dependence on someone or something. It's belief or confidence in someone or something. And in our New Testament, whether it's in John 3:16, the word faith is mentioned there, or Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, there is one Greek word used for faith, and it is the word pistis. It's translated by our English words as faith, belief, or trust. But of all the definitions we may come up with, I love the one in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let me just clarify, this is not a description of saving faith. If it was to do with saving faith, we'd be saying very clearly that it's about trusting what Jesus has done for you by dying on the cross for your sins and rising again. Having confidence that His death and resurrection saves you completely from all the wrong things you have done so that you can go to heaven. Right, we're not talking about that type of faith. We're talking about living faith. What it means to walk with God. And this definition is a great definition. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So it's trust and confidence in our hope. In our hope in Christ. And it's belief, the conviction of things not yet seen. That is to say, the wonderful things that God has in store for those of us who are in Christ. Okay, so that's what faith is. Now, in a world where seeing is believing, where we are encouraged to live for the present and the temporal, it's challenging to maintain this kind of faith because you're going against the current. Everything about this world, this society, is about the here and now. But the faith we're talking about here is beyond this world. You pick that up. It's things that we cannot see. That's the kind of faith that we are called to have. Just reading a few verses. I love the way it's put in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. This is the faith we are to have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes there, "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What a great verse that is. And then a few verses later on, in chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." To walk by faith means that we are looking to what's to come. We are looking at the things that we cannot see now, but they're there for all those who are in Christ. That's the kind of faith that we are called to have. And look at the way this faith, a looking forward faith, is emphasised. And I want to just go back to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to see how we've already seen this language of looking forward. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, let's read verses 34 to 36. It says, "For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one." See that? Looking forward. Verse 35, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." Looking forward. Verse 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." See the emphasis. It's just constant in the New Testament. Keep looking forward. Don't get caught up with this temporary world and the things of this world. Faith is higher than that. It looks to what's to come, to what God has declared, to what Jesus has accomplished for us. That is how we're meant to be living. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 just nails it. It just tells us, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Is that how you live in your life? Or you have you succumbed to the ways of this world where you're really just living for the here and now, for the present? As God's people, we are called to look forward. That's how you're meant to be living your life. When you do, you're going to have a spring in your step. You're going to have a joy and a delight no matter what is going on in this earth. That's the kind of faith we are called to live out. This is living faith. This is the faith we are to know in our life. You know, last Sunday night, it reminded me as I was preparing this message, we were looking at some great verses from 2 Peter chapter 3 last Sunday night. I'm going to read them to you, and these really encourage you to look forward. Alright, this is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 to 13. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up." We've got to add there, wow, can you imagine that? "Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? But holy and godly, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking forward to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. There it is. What a picture. Looking forward. This temporary world is going to pass away. It's going to be no more. But God has something in store for all His children that is wonderful and delightful. The home of righteousness, where everything will be perfect forever and ever. We are meant to be looking forward to that day in anticipation of that great day. That is how we're meant to be living. That changes the way we live. We've got to get our eyes off this world and onto the things to come so that that impacts the way we live here right now. Rightio, let's now look at a few other things. We're going to look at the next heading, faith demonstrated. We've got good examples of faith in this book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And I'm going to read to you an interesting verse that's thrown into Hebrews 11, not just thrown in, because God's Spirit obviously has led the writer to put this in. And it says these words, Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And before I even look at how this connects into Hebrews chapter 11, I'm blown away by that. I love that verse. This verse tells me and you how awesome, and that word just doesn't cover it, how awesome God is. It says here in this verse here that God made the whole heavens and this amazing earth from nothing. That is amazing. What's the word you use here? There's no word. This is incredible. Nothing like it. God has made this whole creation from nothing. Wow. But of course, that's why, you know, scientists can't bear a verse like that, because they have a law. And that law says you cannot create anything from nothing. Nor can you destroy anything completely. Well, God does both. We looked at a previous verse, didn't we? God created everything from nothing, and He will also destroy the whole of this creation completely. Because He's God. He can do that, but He also will bring a new creation into existence. That's our amazing God. You know, it's important for us to take hold of verses like that, because I reckon, including myself, our view of God is still so little. We fail to comprehend who God is and His awesome power. Because if you grasped hold of that, it would make you even more sure about His promises. If He can do these sort of things, of course He can keep His promises no matter what. Now why is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 here? Well, I can't help but see a picture. Can you imagine? I've got to imagine this. Can you imagine the Father and the Son talking about the creation when there was nothing? There's nothing. There's no heavens, there's no earth, and the Father and the Son are talking about how they're going to create the heavens and the earth. And guess who would be listening into that? They're called the morning stars. The angels are listening in. Can you imagine how they would have to exercise faith? They can't see it, but they're hearing God talk about it, and bang, it happened. Rightio, there's a picture here for us. We now live in a present creation. There's not nothing. But we know that God has declared that this present creation will be taken out, and God will create a new one. Like the angels of old, we are meant to be living in anticipation, because God has declared it, it's going to happen. That's faith. Faith is looking into the things that we cannot see yet, but they're going to happen because of how awesome God is. That's why it's here in Hebrews 11 verse 3. There's a picture for us to realise this is not it. This is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. There's a wonderful creation yet to come. The home of righteousness, where we will dwell with God. Where God will be the sun, the light. Where we will dwell in their presence forever and ever. This is what is to come. Living in this world is to have faith in these things. Okay, so let me have a look at a few other things too. I also pick up in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, in the story of Noah, this same emphasis about things not yet seen. Let's read Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So Noah is a great example. You know what? When God told him that there would be a flood, that he had to make a big boat called an ark in order to save his family and all the animals that came to him, you know that he was operating by this faith into things that he could not see. He had never seen a flood. In fact, we understand from the Bible that there probably was no rain yet. What happened was there was a mist that watered the earth, and there was a water canopy over the whole earth to keep everything amazing. Rightio, so it is really like, wow, not seen, never seen a flood, never seen anything like that. But by faith, he built a big boat. By faith. And sure enough, as he came to realize, it all happened because God's word is true. By faith, he made that big boat. By faith, all the animals with him and his family were saved. By faith, they were spared. But all the rest of creation suffered and died. What a picture Noah is. Noah had this faith in things not yet seen. Here it is put it here because it's an example of the same for us. We are to have this faith in the things not yet seen. One day, let's think of the Noah story. One day a judgment shall come upon the earth. One day all humans shall be judged and found wanting and be cast into the place we call hell. But not if we trust in Jesus. Not if we look to the things we cannot see yet. But one day we shall stand before the throne with Jesus there, and he shall allow us to be pardoned because of what he's done on the cross. Those things we cannot see, but that's what's going to happen if we believe in Jesus. Okay, now we're going to go back into the, just for a short time, into the rest of this Hebrews 11, 1-7. And I want us to look now at faith design. Faith is not just the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 2, a little verse, has something else to say about faith. For by it, the men, and of course women, of old, gained approval. This is faith design. God has designed us to have faith, and when we have faith, what's the design of faith? It brings, what does it bring? Approval before God. It's pleasing and delightful to God that we believe in him, that we have faith in him. This is faith designed for us, that it be the thing that we live out because it's pleasing to God. In the story of Noah, do you remember what it says of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8? It says, Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord. He was pleasing to the Lord. We ought to ask the question, why? Was it because he was a perfect man? There's a question to you. No! We know that no person is perfect. What made him pleasing to the Lord? The next verse tells you. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah, this is the key, Noah walked with God. When you see that phrase, what does that mean? Noah walked with God. Noah had faith in God. That's the thing. That's the thing that God has designed for us in order for us to find acceptance with him. In order for us to be pleasing to him. We mess it up, even Noah did. But praise God that he's so happy to see faith in our hearts. And when he sees faith in our hearts, he's pleased. He's pleased. Of course, you know, you ought to know that in the New Testament and Old Testament, this is a massive thing. We find acceptance with God not by our works, not by our efforts, but by faith. Faith in God, faith in his word, faith in his son. And here it is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Noah was declared righteous according to his faith. So faith is something so important in regard to pleasing God. You know, one of my favourite verses, I've got many favourite verses, but here's one, and it's one that's great to memorise, even more than Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says there, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. See what that great verse says? Faith is the thing that pleases God. It causes God to approve of you. It causes God to find, you find favour with God as you have this faith. And you know, leading up to verse 6, that's exactly what we find in verses 4 and 5. Two examples are given. Verse 4 of Hebrews 11, the example of Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. What's so important about the example of Abel? You know, I used to be the same here. I used to think, it's all about the sacrifice. Abel offered a sacrifice from his sheep, the lambs, and I mean, Abel did, and Cain offered something from the fruits of the land, and I thought that's the thing that it's all about, but it's not really. It doesn't say there, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. What that is saying to us, forget about the sacrifice. What's most important is the by faith. By faith. Pleasing God, not himself. Because of the faith, he offered a better sacrifice than Cain. So what did Cain do? Well, it means the opposite. He didn't offer a sacrifice to God by faith. I don't know the situation, but I can only imagine that Cain offered a sacrifice like the picked the lowest he could pick, think of, and with a bad attitude, you know, out of duty, you know, not devotion, he offered his sacrifice. God saw that. But you didn't operate by faith. Doesn't count. But Abel's sacrifice did, by faith. And that sacrifice, by faith, pleased God. That's what it says. That's the big picture. It's the faith that pleases God. That looked at Abel and said, oh, you're such a, I love you. What you've done is the best because of the faith in his heart. And even though Abel was killed by Cain, the Bible tells us here that that story of Abel still speaks to us. That's the way to live, by faith. Don't just get into autopilot, just doing your own thing, just caught up with emotion. Live by faith every day. That's how you please God. And Abel's testimony speaks even today. That's how we are to live. And the other example is Enoch, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained a witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. I love the story of Enoch. And you read about the genealogy from Adam all the way to Abraham. And you read, or to Noah I mean, and you read through it, and it's just a whole list of do people, you know, next person came along. And then suddenly something changes when it comes to Enoch. And you read about Enoch, and there's something different about Enoch. It says Enoch walked with God for 300 years, because they lived long times back then. And he walked with God means he had faith in God. What's the rest doing? I don't know. Just going through life, not even thinking about God. But Enoch was different. And Enoch's walk with God, he's not a perfect man either. I've got to say that, because often we think that, he was perfect. No, he wasn't. We still mess up. But he walked with God by faith. God was so touched by this standout man that he didn't even die. He came straight home to glory. Wow. Why is this here? God wants you to realize that this is faith's design. You have faith. I am going to be touched. I'm going to be pleased. I'm going to be celebrating. So what should that say to us Christians? Have faith. Have faith. It pleases God so much. Be different to the world. Don't look at the things of this world. Don't live for the things of this world. But have your eyes up. Look into God. Look into His Word. Look into His Son. Have faith. Have faith in God. What great examples these are for us, to inspire us. So brothers and sisters, faith is the key to life. Faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in His Son. Faith in the things that God has promised for us in Christ. Faith. This is what pleases God. And you know, faith, it says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, let me read it out to you, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Do you love that bit? Faith should cause us to seek God. Not just to have faith in God, but to seek God. And if we should seek God, he's always true to his word, he will reward us. Is that what it says? Have a look. Hebrews 11 verse 6 at the end. He will reward us. Is that true? Absolutely. Of course it is. Let me just mention just a few big things that He will reward you with. For all those who have faith in Him and His Son, you shall be rewarded with righteousness. You are declared right before Him, no matter how rotten a sinner you are. Praise God for that. You will have a rock and a refuge in Jesus. What a reward. That's the reward for those who have faith. You will have rest for your souls for eternity. That is God's promise to you. What amazing rewards these are. I don't know about you, but in my heart I'm crying out, yes, that's what I want. What about you? I want to be righteous before God. I want to have Jesus as my rock and my refuge. I want to enter that glorious rest one day. Then the key is faith. Faith in God, in His Word, and in His Son. Have faith. And you know, I'm so conscious that as I go through Hebrews, this whole section of Hebrews 10, 11 will finish in Hebrews chapter 12. And I've got to tell you, I've got to jump in already, the greatest example of faith is in, what's the right answer? It's always the right answer. Jesus. It is Jesus. I want you to be aware that we are heading through all these examples, but we will finish with the greatest example of all. And it is Jesus. And it's captured in one verse. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you see how that ties in with Hebrews 11? Jesus had something when He was dying upon the cross, being punished for our sins, bearing the wrath of God. What did He have before Him? The joy. The joy of pleasing His Father. The joy of seeing us home in glory one day. It was what was before Him that kept Him going. And was He rewarded? Oh, the Father so wanted to reward His Son. What did He do to His Son? It says there in Hebrews 12:2, He was exalted to the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is our perfect example. He, even though He's the one who saves us, He's also set an example for us. Have faith in God. Jesus said in John 14 verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in Me. And how we need to. My greatest picture of Jesus' faith was actually when He died, just before He was about to die. I know He's the Son of God, but I can't help but see also He was a fully human being too. And I can't help but think of that time when He had all our dirt and sin upon Himself, and God has turned His back to His Son, and He's bearing the wrath of God, and His faith. Jesus says, as He's about to plunge into death itself, He says, Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. There's faith. We need to have that faith, to believe in God no matter what. May God help us. May we have a growing faith. May we keep the faith no matter what. Amen. Our Father, thank You for how important it is that we understand that we have a faith in Your Son, in You, in Your Word, and that we keep on having faith in You no matter what's happening in our world. Lord, help us through this world that we're in, where we see the opposite of faith. It's all about sight. It's all about the here and now. So help us to live as Your children with our eyes upon You and upon what's to come. And may that have such huge impact in regard to how we live here on earth. May our lives be lived well because our eyes are upon You. Thank You for that great verse and Jesus' wonderful example to us. He set it all for us. Thank You that He is the one that we are to fix our eyes on, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank You for how He will help us to endure through everything. Help us to see the joy before us, even as Jesus did, and how one day we shall be around the throne. Lord, help us all this year. I pray that none of us would slip away, that we would not shrink away, that You would help us to have a growing, maintaining faith. Please help us to encourage one another in this. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.